morning, my friends. Good morning and welcome back. You are listening to a very exciting Wednesday edition of Frankly Speaking Radio, heard planet-wide on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm your host, Frank Whelan. Very pleased to have you with us here today. Very exciting stuff, courtesy of our guest. You can check out the website, franklyspeakingradio.com, for a link to his website, his email address, all that jazz. And, of course, you're welcome to weigh in with your thoughts here. We'll take calls in a little bit. 1-800-313-9443. Probably sooner rather than later, because I know we can never quite get to all the calls when we have this guy on. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, a great friend, a prolific author, and a fearless speaker of the truth, regardless of, whomever might be set back by this. And, again, when you look at preaching the actual truth, you know, you're going to make enemies of the world, because it's the world that doesn't want this out there, which is why I love this guy so much. Martin Zender, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Frank. Hey, you know, people rebel against the truth at first, and they hear it,
sure,
doesn't sound right, and they, oh, my God, that just shakes up my whole foundation. I can't believe that. God creates evil. Come on. But after the shock wears off and they start to think about it and they hear the reasons behind it, then it starts to take hold, and it starts to make sense. And when they realize the important key that evil is not necessarily sin, and before the break we were saying that God can do evil, and it could be for a good reason, to make somebody better, stronger. As you said, the example of the bone, perfect example. Break the bone, grows back stronger. God breaks you, you come back stronger. God can do this because he's God. People cannot necessarily do this. But, I mean, even when you discipline your children, you're doing that in a way. It's an evil, and yet you're hoping to have them grow by it. And so, in a limited sense, humans can do this also, but they don't necessarily do it. A lot of evil humans do is for selfish purposes, destructive purposes. Never that way with God.
Right.
You got to look at the long picture. That's the problem with people today in this fast culture. People aren't looking down the long road. They're just seeing their instant comfort. Most people are concerned about how good they feel right now. And that's understandable. We're all human.
Yeah.
But when you start to look in the scriptures and see these other things, you start to get a longer perspective. And you start to see that the goal is good. You start to see that the universe is in good shape by God's perspective. And once you start thinking about these things, then the means to the end become more tolerable. People see these things happening. We hear, the world is coming to an end. All these catastrophes we know are prophesied in the book of Revelation. Things are going to get real bad. The problem is, the stereotypical thinking there is, this is God's goal. Since it's in the book of Revelation, the last book in the Bible, this is the last thing that's going to happen. But it's not. Just because it's the last book in the Bible physically doesn't mean that's the last thing God has to say on the subject. It's confusing God's means for his goals that gets a lot of people messed up. I always, whenever something bad happens in God's word, I say, okay, what happens next? What happens next? And you keep going, you're going to find out that God is going to become all in all, that he's going to bring the universe back under himself through the blood of the cross. Things are going to turn out better than they were before all this stuff started here.
Hey, I'm excited about that.
I would think that'd be good news to people. I don't know why people hate that news.
I know.
Because I do know why. Because they hate to hear that somebody else is going to get what they have. I worked hard for it all my life. I went to church for 40 years. I served on the choir. I served in the church nursery. You telling me that idiot over there is going to end up being blessed by God as well as me? Oh. And they can't stand that.
You're right on about that, because I know a lot of people who just cling desperately with both hands to the idea that God's, you know, going to be the big brother called to the playground to hash out the retribution. You know, saying, what'd you say to my little brother? I'm going to beat the crap out of you. And people are like, ha, 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 my God's tougher than your God. You know, that's what people want. And I guess, I don't know. I think that, you know, I don't remember Jesus ever saying, hey, go ahead. Go ahead, I dare you, stick a nail in my hand and watch what my dad does. He's going to come down here and beat the crap out of you. That wasn't what it was all about.
I'll try to find it in the Bible during the break.
The beat the crap, actual
phrase. Yeah, beat the crap. I'm going to look at it in my concordance.
Stay with us, folks. We'll be right back.
Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using Rife Frequency Technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Fife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions, and there are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Eliminate the cause. Don't just treat the symptoms. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call Alternative Technologies toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. One more time, that's 866-885-6625.
Welcome back, my friends. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I'm your host, Frank Will, and glad to have you with us here this fine Wednesday morning. Our guest today, Martin Zender, is joining us. Martin, welcome back to the show.
Saturday night's all right for fighting.
That's
I love
right.
That song, but
yeah.
Get a little action in.
Clint is on top of it today.
Clint's on top of it.
Now, there's the theme
song. The
He's not
like
that on top of it, I guess.
He is on top of it.
Well, welcome back. We got a lot of calls in there, and obviously people, a lot of people, they take comfort in their trials and tribulations because, again, they think that, that Jesus, that God will go ahead and get vengeance for them. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord,
Which is true.
Yeah.
But they think that's the end of the matter. They see the vengeance as an eternal vengeance instead of something that's going to bring that person also to a realization of the truth. People have such short memories when it comes to that. They have a relationship with Christ, and then they look down at other people. Oh, you don't. Too bad you don't have what I have. And they forget what brought them to a relationship with Christ. Chances are it was a crisis of some kind. It was something that disturbed them, their peace. They needed an answer, and so why can't God do the same for other people? Mm-hmm.
Hey, right on. Yeah. You know, and that's the thing. I don't want to think that that God is like he's portrayed in the Old Testament, where he's just, you know, what? You didn't open your eyes when I told you know when the sun came out, bam! Your whole civilization's off the face of the earth. You know that's like the angry God. That's like the God who, you know, had a bad day at work. And then the New Testament God, you think, well, here's a different God. Here's a guy who's loving. So, you know, how do you rectify the disparities there?
That's a tough thing, but it's really simple once you realize that the only way we could appreciate the fellowship we have access with confidence to the throne of God, Paul says in Ephesians. Oh, well, that's nice, access to God. Okay, well, you wouldn't realize how amazing that was until you realized how high and mighty God was. And the whole purpose of that Old Testament was to show people how separated God was from humanity, how great he was. He had all these curtains in the temple separating people from God, all these things you had to do to gain access, and people would be struck dead and all these lightnings and thunders and this, you just shake and tremble before this Almighty God. That had to be done. This wasn't God's heart. Scripture says it wasn't his heart to be this way. He was putting on an act. He was doing this to show a certain,
love, basically.
A certain face of his.
I see.
In order that now that grace has come, we're stunned now. We saw what it took to reconcile God and man, the death of Christ, one of the most dramatic, wrenching, horrible deaths you can imagine. And this is what it took to get rid of the enmity that was between us and God. And now when we find out that we have access to this same God, it stuns us and we appreciate it. That never would have come without first knowing how awesome this God was. But it's important to note that that was not his heart. It says he unveils his true self through Jesus Christ. He unveils his heart. It's not a different God. It's a different face of the same God. Mm. He unfolds himself gradually through the ages, you see. He doesn't just come off right away and just hugging everybody, loving everybody, even though that's in his heart, Frank. He does want to love.
But
you can't even appreciate love. And here's the whole answer to the problem of evil. You can't appreciate love unless you've known hate.
Right on.
You can't appreciate peace unless you've known war. You can't appreciate quietness unless you've had turmoil and distress. And so the turmoil, the distress, the death, it has to come first. The sin has to come first for the grace to be here. We've talked about this before.
Yeah.
People saying amazing grace, then they curse the devil.
Yeah.
If it weren't for the devil, you wouldn't know amazing grace. God's behind all of this.
Amazing.
Yeah.
First things first. I just love that stuff. You're such a great and broad perspective. And I think one of the things, Martin, that you always have the capacity to do that I'm still working on myself is to have that retention about these things. A lot of us will, you know, we'll react to a situation and we'll focus on one aspect of something like that, but we'll forget that maybe the overall intent is different, such as, you know, the whole forgiveness thing. You know, we're like, what? You did this to me? Well, take that, you know, and then again, you know, we want to be forgiven, and then we don't realize that, you know, the whole intent of the whole realization of the grand design, you know, as much as we can possibly humanly comprehend, needs to be factored in. Like you said, otherwise we're situational hypocrites, I guess would be a good way to put it.
Well, if God has given me a gift, it is the ability to be able to see the big picture, to be able to contemplate a good outcome to all this. And to be able to focus on that while the turmoil is going on, that's a gift. And I have that gift, and I thank God for it because he gave it to me. If I can impart any of that to somebody else, then I'm thankful for it. I thank you for the opportunity
to do it. You're the best.
RBN, I appreciate it.
Thank you very much. And like I said, folks, we do have some books to give away, too, which I'm really excited about. And I want to open up the phone lines, Martin, if that's okay with you.
Okay.
1-800-313-9443. Now, we've already had an anonymous caller who called up to refute you, Martin Zender.
Okay.
But she wouldn't give her name or her location because she didn't want to lie. So at least there's some consistency. But again, because she didn't want to give out her name because she was fearful that somebody would hear her. So again, there's fear, which is shows a lack of faith to a certain extent.
Well, what was her?
I don't know. She dropped. She dropped off the phone line. But here's the thing that I can't understand is that when you put yourself out there like you do, people don't take advantage of the opportunity to call up and say, I've always wondered about this scripture. What they do is they try to call up and tell you you're wrong. And it just seems like an absolute waste of time. It really does. I don't get it.
Well, I'm always willing to be proven wrong, but you're going to come with some big ammo.
Well, I mean, this is what you do. It's like people, you know, who, like, I'll talk to a relative or something about something. They're like, that's not true. And I'm like, hold on a second. This is what I do for a living. Okay, you go out every day and you, you know, you flip burgers, you know, for 50 hours a week, and then you come home and you're going to tell me that my 70 hours this week spent on analyzing the news and current events and different things was less valuable, that you picked up more in your spare time than I did for my job?
You know, people have told me this again and again. They say, well, I haven't studied scripture as much as you, but I still say that. That's how they preface their argument. Well, I haven't studied Scripture nearly as much as you do. And I know you spend all your time studying Scripture, but you're wrong. It's like,
Martin, it's I know this is what you do for a living, but, you know, I don't know. I was, I don't know. I was stumbling across something, and I realized I had wrapped up some knickknacks and tissue paper, but I ran out of tissue paper, so I used the Bible, and then I ran across a verse, and this tells me that you're wrong. You know, I read a fortune cookie. It tells me Martin Zender's crazy. So, you know, it is what it is. But anyway, folks, again, I'm opening up the phone lines right now. 1-800-313-9443. We're going to try not to rush anybody off here because I know that these are big issues and people need time to get into it and develop it. But again, if you're just going to call up and argue, man, save us all the time because odds are Martin Zender's going to prove you wrong. You're going to hang up and you're going to be pissy and then nobody wins.
Frank, I had a guy one time, we were telling him this about God created evil. And he goes, where does it say that? He says, right in the scripture. He goes, I'd have to see that. I'd have to see it. So we took out the Bible, King James, showed him Isaiah 45:7. He stared at it and he says, I don't believe that. He's looking at it.
Oh, my God.
I don't believe that. He's looking at it.
That is that right there, man. That is the seat of all problem right there. People cannot wrap their head around stuff sometimes. And obviously, I know, sometimes it does take time. You got to dwell on it. You got to pour over it. You got to analyze it. Sure, I understand. But still.
Well, there's too many assumptions going into it. They read it, and they're already carrying all sorts of filters and baggage, and they can't read it in a pure way for what it's saying.
Yeah.
I create evil.
And you know what? It's like I always tell people, this whole world is filled with lies, and when people finally stumble across this, it's devastating. Some people do not survive it. And some people refuse to even, no, I don't care. You can show me this. It doesn't matter.
They're not even going to believe their eyes.
Yeah.
You know, I think that happened with poor Galileo on the Leaning Tower of Pisa. He was trying to prove that objects of different weight fall at the same velocity. And he drops two balls of differing weight from the Leaning Tower of Pisa. This is a great legend. I think it probably happened. The scientific community was standing there. They were standing there, and they watched those balls hit the ground at the same time, and they refused to believe their eyes.
It's not true.
Because it rewrote everything they knew about physics, Frank.
Right.
It rewrote the book. I had a girl come to my door one time selling Bibles. She was from Romania or something. She had the cutest little girl, cute accent. I hope you buy these books from me. And I started engaging her in a conversation. My apology to all Romanians out there. I started engaging her in this issue of God being in control of everything. And she was just, no, that can't be so. And one thing she said was so telling. She goes, it all come tumbling down. Her doctrine. She was going to a seminary of some kind. She goes, it would all come tumbling down. What'd she mean? The world? No. Her system would come tumbling down if what I was telling her was true. It meant the destruction of everything she'd ever learned. She was not willing for that to happen. It's going to come tumbling down.
Wow. That's powerful.
I know.
It really is.
The word is powerful.
It is. And this is the thing, folks. This is a natural progression, I think, from where the majority of this listenership is. We all know that the government lies. We know that the institutions lie. We know that the media lies. So why does it not make sense to say that the way that we have been taught about Scripture and whatnot is a lie as well? And then when you take it in that context, you say, well, hold on a second here. You're telling me I don't need a middleman. You're telling me that I don't need to do this and I don't need to do that. So, yeah, in essence, as you say, Martin Zender, it's easier than we've ever been taught that it is.
Yeah, and why not take the next step? If everything's screwed up in the medical world, the educational world, the political world, what makes you think the spiritual world's not immune?
Yeah, right on. All right, we're taking calls. As soon as we come back, folks, stay with us. More Frankly Speaking Radio after this. Welcome back, my friends. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I'm your host, Frank Whalen. Glad to have you with us here today, Wednesday. And our guest today, Martin Zender, just fantastic guy. Martin Zender, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Frank.
Clint just loves that.
I do too, man.
Yeah, I know you do. You're the only guest that has a theme song. So.
Oh, man. I'm honored, humbled, and...
And all that.
All such emotions.
Well, I appreciate it, man. That's how I feel every time you grace us with your information. And again, the accessibility, it's one thing I love about you is that the books are so witty, so brilliant, so insightful, and they welcome people in rather than like the church and all these other things where they just sort of say, it's this way, and if you're wrong, then you're going straight to hell. Folks, our number 1-800-313-9443. You ready?
Yes, sir.
Let's do it. Renee, North Carolina, welcome to the show.
You two bad boys. Y'all,
what are you talking about?
Bad boys. I was never a bad boy.
Y'all are talking.
I know.
I tell you what, the lightning's coming, Frank.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Hey, you know what?
God's got a bolt with Frank's name on it.
He probably does, and I probably deserve it.
No, like I said, it's you know, people have been so intimidated, they cannot laugh or talk about these things because the clergy has intimidated them so badly. The way I see it, Frank, you can't tell me the way God didn't design the sex act that he does not have a sense of humor.
Oh, God, this is
this took a turn.
I was going to say, Martin, this is like your area of expertise.
I love to talk about sex, but look, we only got 25 minutes left. So
it's like, the thing is, you know, don't you know, God was going, oh, I'm going to make this have to happen. Then wait, then they have to do this. You know, it's like, you know, so it's like, you know, people are just taking so seriously.
Absolutely.
And that, you know, we need laughter. And I think it's a healthy thing, like y'all were talking about earlier, how there is a mind-body connection. And it has been proven that laughter is some of the best medicine. It
sure
actually affects our physical body. So why would God not want us to laugh? And you say, some of these people take themselves so seriously.
But please, folks. But please, all you ladies out there, do not laugh while you're having sex with your husband.
Oh, yeah.
That's not good for him.
Yeah. Martin, I'm glad you said that, man.
Yeah, okay.
Especially
go
if my
ahead
wife's listening. Now, I want to say this while Renee catches her breath. Here's the thing. I mean, you think about it. That's a great point. And here's the way the church would teach us about Jesus, for example, is he was always out at these parties. He was always drinking. He's even changing water into wine. Okay, now that's not for some ritual, that's for a celebration. And yet he's stoically sitting in the corner with a mournful scowl on his face because he disapproves of everything and everybody. I mean, he's so solemn. You think Jesus never laughed? You think he never had a good time? You think
they
never
jumped his case because he was eating and drinking?
Yeah.
That was one of the cases they had against him.
Well, that's one of my favorite parts of Matthew. It's funny y'all brought that up because there's a part in Matthew, I think it's maybe chapter 23, where one of my favorite quotes, where he says, "You brilliant men can justify your every inconsistency." And he says this after he gives a speech. He says, "Look, you didn't like John the Baptist because he did this, that, and that. But then I do something different, and you don't like that either. It's like, you know, I can't please you no matter, you know, nothing pleases you."
That's exactly right.
It's all about rationalization and how people, you know, will believe whatever they want to believe. They will find some way to maneuver it in their mind to hang on to their beliefs. You know, I really like Frank, one time you had said how people leaving the church, and you said this once, and it was terrific. In other words, even when people leave the church, they seem to bring baggage with them. And so they don't just bring a bag. They call Mayflower. and the thing is, so even if they leave the church, they bring all that. That's why the church loves to help teach your children, because they know once they indoctrinate people, church and state love to get their hands on the kids, because they know it's almost like imprinting a duck. Once you put their ideas in their head young, there's a damn good chance they will never shake them.
Right.
And that's why people have trouble with these things.
Yeah, and I think it's an excellent point. I think that's what leads people to be, you know, like atheists, for example. Some of the biggest detractors of the church mythology, the people who will go after the churches for their deceptive nature, are people who were burned by the church and subsequently have taken an illogical step and said, well, the church is full of lies, so therefore God doesn't exist at all.
Exactly what happened with Charles Darwin.
Yeah.
Exactly. He rebelled against the God of eternal torment that he was taught in his church, and he rebelled. He thought that what he was learning in his church was how God was. He rebelled against God, and he came up with a teaching that eliminated God. Exactly what you said, Frank.
Yeah, because that's again, it's illogical, but it's emotional, and it's understandable. Because people equate church and God. They equate doctrine and faith. They equate, you know, parameters of belief and the existence of God. And therefore, one cannot exist without the other. So when they rebel against the lies of the church, they therefore say, well, surely then God's a lie. They just made him up to control people. No, he's real, but the control element's real, too. They both are not necessarily mutually exclusive. Folks, stay with us. Renee, you stay with us as well. Martin Zender, our guest. And we're taking calls. We'll be right back, folks.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Good morning, friends. Welcome back. You're listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I'm your host, Frank Whelan, and taking some calls here with our guest today. Got 25 minutes left in the show and counting, so if you have something to say, now's a good time to do it. 1-800-313-9443. Back to our guest, of course, Martin Zender. Thank you again for your time today.
Well, you're quite welcome. It's my privilege.
No, it's ours. And,
okay, it's yours.
I'm taking it.
I got straight now.
That's right, buddy. When this is the Martin Zender, when this is the Martin Zender show, you can have the privilege. But no, I'm privileged today because this is my show. Welcome back, Renee.
I have one question
yeah.
for him. There is one cliche that's thrown a lot around a lot that I can understand how it makes mankind feel good about themselves, but I think it's a huge insult to God. You know, these people go around, oh, I'm made in the image of God. And I'm just going, I just want to say, well, aren't you special? You know, it's like that. When we look around the world today, and we see the mess we're in, that may make us feel good. To me, that's all about ego
right.
and everything and kind of an ego-boosting thing. But I'm thinking, but boy, what an insult to God. That's hugely disappointing for me.
Well, in Genesis, we're told that mankind is indeed made in the image of God. That's probably where they're getting that. So it's not a catchphrase. It's actually a scriptural phrase, made in the image of God. However, that's a figure of speech known as prolepsis, when God calls what is not as if it were. Mankind is becoming into the image of God. As Frank says, and the name of one of my books is Flawed by Design, right now we certainly do not see the potential of the human race because we're beset by death, and because we're mortal creatures, we sin, and so it's a really ugly sight when you get up in the morning and look in the mirror. And so this is the image of God. And yet this was a promise of God that it is coming to this. And this is where Frank says you need to definitely walk by faith, not perception, because perception's killing me here. But faith is what's gonna carry me through. So the people that say that, I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt, Renee. I'm saying that maybe they're thinking in the same terms God is that in spite of what I see, he is making me in his own image. But to claim that it's this way now, it is the height of arrogance and assumptions to think that I'm now in the image of God. I have arrived. God has polished me. I've only seen one Christian bumper sticker that I've actually liked. Most of them are heinous and hideous. I can't stand to read them. I avert my eye. But I saw one that I actually liked, and it was, "Be patient, God isn't finished with me yet."
There you go.
And that's good, but like some of them, it's like you can see them. They're getting their chest all pumped up and feeling so wonderful about themselves, putting themselves on this great godly level. And I find it offensive.
Well, Renee, they believe that they chose Christ. They believe that they did something that other people couldn't manage. They had the wisdom to choose Christ. They don't realize yet that Christ chose them. They wouldn't realize that their flesh is the same as everybody else's. They're in the same crap heap as we are, and the only reason they have faith now is because God reached through their sacred little world and gave them faith. And if it weren't for that, they wouldn't have it any more than anybody else. They don't realize that yet. That's the pride of Christian religion. And Christians spend most of their time trying to keep this pride from showing.
Mm-hmm.
It's the secret religious pride. That's the reason the chest is out and the nose is a little bit up in the air, because I chose Jesus and you didn't, you idiot.
Yeah.
How quickly they forget there's grace of God that chose them.
And that's about ego. And people, too, a lot of times they get so caught up in criticizing other cults. But in this cult behavior, there's something called snapping. And it's these thought clock stopping cliches. And once you become aware of this, you see this both in religion and in government and everything else. They're really all over the place to get people to stop thinking or stop their action, like a secular one might be you can't find City Hall. In other words, to kind of get people to stop, okay? Or and then there's also, you know, religious ones, you know, also, and within Christianity. And until you kind of become aware of this snapping, sometimes you don't see these cliches that are used to people mm-hmm. that are even within our own system. We see them very clearly in the other person's system, but we don't see them in our own.
Exactly.
Well, let me let y'all go.
Thanks for the call, Renee.
Yeah, Renee, appreciate it as always.
Good insight.
God bless you.
Good insight.
Yeah. Let's keep it going, folks. 1-800-313-9443. Gary in Alabama, welcome to the program.
Hey, what's up?
How are you?
Hi, Gary. I'm pretty good. I'm pretty good. I got a few questions for you. One, you said something about how our choices don't affect eternity, and they don't affect, you know, the future as far as, you know, just a definite change. And I would have to disagree with that on multiple points, because the simple fact that we were given the choice to choose an apple or choose, you know, God's provision in the beginning means that we have a choice, and that choice affected everything beyond that. And I'd like to get your...
This is an excellent point. And Martin, if I'm not mistaken, if Gary, if you permit me to interject this, Martin, you are working. Your next book is about free will. Is that not?
Yeah, it's called The Really Bad Thing About Free Will. That's the name of my next book. But
okay. I just basically wanted to know how you feel about that. If you think that free will is an applicable concept in your Christian faith.
It's an excellent question.
Okay, you might as well stay on the line if you want. Frank had talked earlier about predestination. This is a scriptural doctrine. I'm reading from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, in accord with, in love, designating us beforehand for the place of a son. Sorry about the train. I live in the middle of Grand Central Station here. My office is at the Freight Train Central. He designates us beforehand. So, Gary, if God has designated you beforehand, before you were born, for the place of a son, then the time will come in your life when you will believe. But that belief will not be generated out of your free will, because free says that you could go either way. Free implies that you have the ability to reject that.
Right.
And I dare say, I think you'll agree with me, that if God designates something beforehand to occur, there's no power on earth that's going to derail that. Speaking of trains, that gave me a great analogy. Isn't that right, though?
That is correct. But also, it's possible that what he's referring to there is just the simple right to existence.
No, he's talking about the place of a...
designated in existence.
No, he's talking about the place of a son. That's not mere existence. That's being in the family of God. That's something that we're talking salvation here in this context.
Ephesians what?
Ephesians 1, verse 4 and verse 5, designating us beforehand. And that's not the first verse. That's not the only verse that speaks of this, Romans chapter 8 as well. But, again, you agreed with me that if God does predesignate you, you cannot refuse it.
Well,
and so if you can't refuse it, that eliminates free will, because free will says you can refuse. Free will says you're free, and free
is what I don't get. It's counterproductive. I would assume yourself that you would agree that God wouldn't waste time, right?
It's true. God doesn't waste time. No.
Correct. So why would he? Why would there be permission? You know, why would in the beginning he allow the fall of man, the degeneration of existence, only to later predetermine who is saved?
Well, I think just my personal thing, I would say, Martin, that you kind of sort of answered this a little bit when you said that in order to appreciate the ups, basically, we have to have the downs. You know, we got to have the lows to appreciate the highs.
Right. And Gary,
I would also have to disagree with that.
Okay, why?
Really?
Why?
Well, let me get it.
Because we don't know anything at all. We don't know how life would be without a down.
Exactly.
We don't know that in the... No, you don't understand what I'm saying. We don't know that we would not be able to appreciate a good without an evil, because we have grown up in evil.
I'll give you an example of why I disagree with that. And this is on a different, a much, much more scaled down thing, Gary.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that you look at, like, a lot of these elites, okay, these like George W. Bush. This guy's never had to work for anything in his life. He's had it made. Mm-hmm. He's had money, power, influence. All these things have been handed to him on a silver platter. Now, if that were to be taken away, by something. I don't know what it could be. Bad oil deal. Whatever. Dad sells his son to one of these secret societies. He would not know how to cope. Let's say, for example, there's a natural disaster that comes and just annihilates the United States, cripples the economy, all these other things, terrible things happen. These rich people will not know how to cope because they've been writing checks and having people do that. So what I'm saying is
that's the opposite of what you're saying. That's
no, actually,
going from providence to, you know, desolation.
What I'm saying is that to these people who have always lived like that, life isn't that great to them. You know what I mean? Because they've never known despair. They've never known hardship. So therefore, the life that they have is a life that we would view as privileged. To them, it's just life. That's what I'm saying. So I'm actually making my point by saying that if you don't have something to compare it to, how can you judge what you've got?
Well, that's just it, though.
And Gary,
I don't believe that we're going to have to judge or distinguish between those things at all, because all will be known to us.
Well, Gary, I think I see the crux of your point. You're saying that how would we know that we couldn't live maybe independent of relying on contrast for revelation, right? But the fact is that God didn't allow man to fall in the garden. God caused man to fall. He set everything up so that he would fall. He could have planted that tree of the knowledge of good and evil behind a razor fence and put it on the far corner of the garden. Instead, he puts it right in the middle.
Right.
Everything is set up like a mousetrap. And you say God doesn't waste time. This is the most constructive use of time I can imagine, because Adam and mankind in general, by going through all what we've gone through, we're growing in a knowledge and appreciation of God. That could not have happened by any other means. And if it could have, God would have used those means. But he didn't. This is the way God did it.
What if, you know, this is just through the wealth of knowledge that I've come across, you know, through my own personal endeavors. Quite a few Christian philosophers, I guess you could call them, a lot of people call them apologetics, are under the belief system that basically you take this fall of man, the chewing of an apple or whatever, and you place it into the importance of free will. So that one event establishes the fact that choice is really important. And
well,
it also establishes the fact, and by this, listen, so Adam and Eve are given the opportunity to show that they are obedient, and not obedient in the sense of, you know, slave driving, or obedient, you know, obedient in the sense of, you know, love and trust and faith, you know, faith not as we know it now, not as the word has come across in this day and age. This is the word sin is given a fantasy, you know, so is faith.
But how can you speak of knowing facts in one breath, and 30 seconds ago you said that you've got a wealth of knowledge from personal acquaintances and people you've talked to and apologetics? Listen to the scripture. Listen to the scripture. To vanity.
No, you haven't.
You haven't heard this one. Romans 8:20. To vanity was the creation subjected, not voluntarily, but because of him, capital H, who subjects it. You're telling me that Adam and Eve had a free choice in the garden. I'm telling you they made a choice, but it was not free, because this verse proves that the creation was subjected to vanity, and that's when it happened, not voluntarily. They didn't know what they were doing. They were ignorant because God kept them that way. He is ultimately responsible. Are you with me there? Do you believe in the responsibility of God, or do you believe in free will? No, you can't believe in free will and the responsibility of God at the same time. Which do you believe?
No,
you can. You're a hypocrite if you do. If God's responsible,
we're all
then
hypocrites.
We're not all hypocrites. Listen to me. If you believe in God's control, you can't believe that humans have control at the same time. Which is it?
Yeah, I think Gary,
I don't believe in God's responsibility. I don't believe that he takes control.
God does take control. He does take total control.
I think in the end he will have control.
Well, you're saying basically that he sort of set things in motion, you know, and then walked away, and then he'll come back and clean up the mess afterwards?
No.
I think that there are instances
clearly stated throughout the Bible where God made serious interventions, and I think that he does it now.
Right. Well, that's still.
And I also agree with him placing people in power and all of that. I don't agree.
Good.
He should sit back and allow the people in power to just basically, I'm not saying rise up against them and be a force to be reckoned with. What I am saying, though, is that there is a supreme power. You know, there is a point with which you have to say, this divides me from God.
But what does this have to do with human free will, which I assume you believe in?
This is what I'm trying to get to, is that if you read through it and you literally interpret it, which, you know, I don't know. You know, I'm not going to pretend to know. But whether you should do a literal or a spiritual interpretation.
Right, right.
I'm sure that you should pray and ask the Lord to explain it to you.
We're about to come up on a break, Gary.
All right.
So,
well, what I'm trying to say is that I honestly believe that it is possible and that it's applicable that God is responsible for the world the way it is, not necessarily how it has gotten here, but in the end, ultimately, we'll take responsibility for what's going on. I mean, it says it.
But he's not responsible for how we got here.
Not entirely responsible.
Not entirely, but you just said God was entirely responsible.
No, I said that he is responsible for it.
For everything. I thought you said he was responsible for everything.
Well, let's just clarify that. Gary, is God responsible for everything?
Well, that's a very broad statement.
I think it's a broad statement, but I think that the answer is equally broad.
I think it's a very good question.
Okay. Did he create this? Yes.
Okay.
Is he responsible for making all of this happen? Ultimately, yes.
Okay.
Okay, good.
Well, there you go.
I mean, you can't argue with that.
Yeah, exactly. And that's my point. And I think that you're right there, brother. And I'll tell you what, you know, when Martin's book comes out, we're going to have to, get you a copy. If he sends us, as he has generously done so often, copies of his books to give away, we'll make sure you get one. Because here's the thing. What you got to understand here is that I look at it, and this is just my personal interpretation. You got to look at it in this context. God is sort of like the author of a book. He wrote the book. He's written the whole thing. It's already written, and then he kind of gives it to people, and they can read through it, and you can skip ahead and whatever. But the point is that, the characters going through that, which would be, in this analogy, us, maybe don't know how it's going to turn out, but the author does. He's written the whole thing. So I think that in the grand scheme of things, this is all done. It's predestined. It's all planned out. In a sense, it's...
Yeah, that's right, Frank.
Yeah.
Gary, I appreciate your sentiment. Yeah, you're saying that in the end, God is going to be responsible for everything. I appreciate that sentiment, but to follow through with that, you're going to have to say that in order to ensure the outcome, God is going to have to be responsible all the way through. He doesn't start responsible and somehow end responsible unless he's responsible in the interim.
Why not? I mean, he's not man. He doesn't fall into the same guidelines we do.
Well, I can give you another scripture verse that says God is operating all in accord with the counsel of his will, Ephesians 1:11.
Well, that kind of sums it up right there. Well, Gary, I'll tell you what, brother. Fantastic points, but again, I don't know how you can argue with Martin Zender's logic. But I'll tell you what, we got to wrap up the show here. I mean, unfortunately, these questions are not small questions. I'll tell you what, give us a call back tomorrow or something, and we'll do more of this. Folks, stay with us. We'll be right back. Good morning, my friends. Good morning and welcome back. You are listening to Wednesday's edition of Frankly Speaking Radio. I'm your host, Frank Whalen. Very, very pleased to have you with us. I wish we had more time with this guy, but, it's hard to pin him down. He's a busy boy. He's always writing, speaking, and talking to people. And, of course, you can email him. Our website has his email address, and it's on his website as well, martinzender.com. Martin Zender, welcome back to the show.
Thanks.
Yeah, man, I wish we had more time because I know...
Yeah, you too.
And Gary, God bless him. I got to say this, first of all, he handled that extraordinarily well because he was trying to understand, whereas the people were like, no, you're wrong, I'm going to tell you you're wrong. I can't stand those people. Those are closed-minded people. But I do think that folks, sometimes, again, if it's possible to view it in a simple term, why not do it? It's the details. You ever heard people say the devil's in the details? Right on. It couldn't be any clearer. I mean, the more you go ahead and you scale it down to minutiae of this, what about this, what about this, what about this? How about we just say it this way? Is God in control of all things? Yes. Well, there you go. That's it. Predestination is real. It's that simple. I think, or at least it can be. I think it can be.
It is that simple.
Okay. That's how I look at it. Whether you say, well, God maybe turned his attention away for a second. I just think that plain and simple, I mean, the whole book's basically all prophecy has all been written. And it's all, coming to pass, and you've got revelation, and here's how it all is. So that indicates that it's pretty much, it's all, scripted to a certain extent.
And prophecy, people, that's a big proof, Frank, of no human free will. Because, again, human free will says you can withstand what must happen. There's nothing that must happen because at that moment you're free, you can go either way. But prophecy says otherwise.
Yeah.
These things God's saying is going to happen 1,000 years, 2,000 years before they happen, they have to happen. I guarantee you they're going to happen. And no human will can withstand that. Just the fact that there is prophecy that comes true,
yeah,
this proves human free will.
Yeah.
And God's all the way through it. And I appreciate what Gary was trying to do. He's saying, well, I do want to believe that God's in control of it in the end, but he doesn't realize in saying that in order to get the end, God's going to have to get all the details in between, because it is,
yeah,
in the details.
Yeah.
Every big event is made up of tiny details. Everything's interrelated in the,
yeah,
universe.
It's
cause and effect all the way down the line.
Sure.
One little thing happens that has huge consequences down the line. That's why there's no such thing as time travel. You see read these stories, people go back in time, they try not to mess anything up because it all, it's impossible. It's impossible. Nothing can alter the course that God has set. But he mercifully keeps us ignorant of it, and so we play the game. We live,
yeah,
as if it depends on us. That's the way God wants us to live, because,
sure,
we're not fatalists. But we have the peace of knowing that, okay, we screwed up. In a relative sense, absolute, no. It wasn't a screw-up because that was part of God's plan for my life, either to humble me, to teach me,
yeah,
something, what have you. So we have the best of both worlds.
We really do.
We really do.
It's about keeping it in perspective. And again, think about it, folks. In order to approach this stuff legitimately, you have to be able to do many, many things. Number one, you have to distance yourself from any doctrine that you've been taught in the past. Anything you've heard and been influenced by and all these other things, as well as have a I would say, fairly comprehensive retention and awareness of all the scriptures out there, and then be able to process it.
Exactly.
And that's the thing. People will call up and they're like, well, I get this, but this. And it's like, well, hold on a second, because there's this, this, and this.
Exactly.
I can't, yeah, do it, Martin. I was talking to Clint about it during the break, and I said, I wish I had the abilities that you have. I don't. I really don't. I have the gift of discernment. And the ability to babble endlessly, and that works out well in context.
We need that in you. If that gift were to be taken away, Frank, we'd be adrift.
Hey, man, I appreciate that. I feel the same way about you, and that's why I got to periodically, again, bring you on here. Not just for me, although I will admit it's very selfish. I learn so much every time we chat, on and off the air. Same thing with your books. And, folks, if you go ahead and shoot me an email and let me know your address, I'll make sure you get one of Martin Zender's books till they run out. Martin, what can I say, brother?
I hope we helped at least one person today. I hope their life was changed.
I hope so too, man. And we'll bring you back very soon. Amen to your prayer. And take care, folks. We'll see you tomorrow.